God, as we recall your deeds of power this day through the ministry of Jesus, may your Spirit empower us to go where you send us. Amen. In today's gospel, minutes ago, Jesus performs an exorcism in which he commands the demons possessing a man whom they have driven insane to come out of him. At the demons' request, instead of banishing them to the abyss, Jesus sends them into a herd of pigs on the nearby hillside. When this happens, the pigs respond by rushing down the steep bank of the hill into the lake and drown. So you can probably envision that scene. They probably had gravity working against them, and once they got to the water, they just could not stop. Well, because I knew that Jim Lecklum was going to be here today, I couldn't resist beginning today's sermon by sharing with you that in all of literature, biblical or otherwise, this is the first reported case of deviled ham. So there you go, Jim. Another one to add to your book. Yet it took a period of 2,000 years before deviled ham was actually put in a can and sold on the open market, and mostly in Hawaii, I think, after having been there myself. I must also say that I'm glad the Gorley family uses the pork they raise to make pulled pork and resist deviling their ham. So thank you, Gorleys. Appreciate that. Well, moving beyond puns and food references, today's narrative about demon possession, people and pigs, is one that is included in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So I'm glad the creators of our three-year lectionary decided to include it in this year's lectionary cycle of our readings from the Gospel of Luke. Evidently, it was understood to be an important story in both early oral and written narratives of Scripture. Some people see its significance as having to do with Jesus' first outreach to a Gentile population. Others note that it's part of a series in chapter 8 of Luke's gospel where Jesus' power is profoundly revealed. He first demonstrates his power over the wind and the waves in the calming of the storm from the boat in which the disciples are convinced that they are going to perish. Today's story of Jesus showing his power over the unclean spirit then immediately follows that one. You notice at the beginning of the gospel, they got out of the boat. So they had just come through the storm and were getting out of the boat on land. Then chapter 8 concludes when they go back to the other side of the lake with Jesus exercising his power over affliction and death by healing the hemorrhaging woman and bringing Jairus's only daughter back to life again. While all these things are important and interesting to note, I would have us focus on what it is that today's gospel tells us about fear and fearlessness. We see it in different ways throughout the story. The demons and unclean spirit fear being tormented by Jesus, even though they are tormenting the man they inhabit. The demons also fear going back into the abyss as they beg Jesus not to order them there. Jesus, contrary to the unclean spirit, is fearless because he knows that the power of God which resides in him and comes forth from him is greater than the tormenting demonic powers residing in the man. Then, at the end of the story, the people from the surrounding area who came to see what happened are afraid, we are told. The first thing that seems to strike fear into them is to see the man, whom they had only experienced as demon-possessed, sitting at Jesus' feet, clothed and in his right mind. Then when the local eyewitnesses tell the others how Jesus had healed the man, we are told that they were seized with great fear and actually asked Jesus to leave. Evidently, they are afraid of who this person is that exhibits such great power, has come from the other side of the lake, that suspicious, scary side where people think differently, live differently, and believe different things than they do. Unlike other biblical stories where messengers from God or Jesus himself says to the fearful, "Fear not," those words are not spoken in this story. But hang on to that observation, because we're going to come back to it in just a bit. The possessed man in this story seems only to behave in ways that inflict harm on himself. In Mark's account of this story, it adds that he bruises himself with stones. Very rarely in our world today do we refer to people as being demon-possessed unless we use it metaphorically. Yet we are very aware of evil, destructive powers, which dehumanize and destroy people or other living things. We are aware that troubled or mentally disturbed people often seek to harm themselves. Then there are other people possessed by thoughts which lead them to actions which endanger and harm others. Extreme manifestations of evil have been expressed through genocide, as that seen in the Holocaust, the killing fields of Cambodia, Rwanda, and other places around the world. Extreme evil has also been perpetrated against individuals in the brutal murders of journalists, most recently in the death of Washington Post columnist and Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi. The gun violence so prevalent in our society today is evil in its power to take out innocent lives in a matter of seconds. Horrific evil instills fear. Yet, everyday things can also instill fear in us. Sometimes, once one has had a close call avoiding a car accident, simply driving down the highway can instill fear. Undergoing medical procedures can instill fear. The prospect of losing one's employment or being unemployed can be quite fearful and anxiety-producing. We can also fear for others, or fear how people are being treated, such as Lutheran pastor Betty Rendon, who was recently deported to Colombia. In reality, there is much to fear in our lives and in our world, whether they be large and systemic or personal and individual. In the face of such fears, what is the promise we find in God's word this day that lead us to be fearless? Earlier, I mentioned that the fearful people, the Gerasenes in today's gospel story, are not given the message, "Fear not." Yet, they are given something else. They are given a man whose life has been visibly transformed before their eyes and has a powerful story to tell of what Jesus did for him. In this way, the healed demoniac actually infleshes the message, "Fear not." Though following this healing, the man wants to stay with Jesus and follow him back to the other side of the lake, Jesus needs him to stay in his own country. Thus, the one who was filled with fearful demons and was feared by others now becomes fearless in proclaiming the depth of God's healing power experienced in his encounter with Jesus. One can imagine that his fearlessness then encouraged others to be without fear as they came to know the love of God, which banishes fear. As we are told in 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect fear, but perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Just as Jesus sent the healed man in today's story back to his community with an important vocation done, we too are sent from today's communion table and today's service where we experience Jesus' presence and healing. The stuff of vocational callings can at times be fearful and raise anxiety. Yet fearlessness is not something we have the power to muster within us. We can't quell our fears by simply trying to convince ourselves not to be fearful. It is, however, the gift of God, a gift of God to us, demonstrated in Jesus, whose power frees us from that which seeks to terrorize, threaten, and destroy us. It is rooted in the love of God and will ultimately defeat the hatred of the demonic. By fulfilling our baptismal, vocational calling, we too enflesh God's message repeated throughout Scripture by messengers of God to fear not. So take courage. Get up, for Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling us today, tomorrow, and all the future days of our life on this earth. And to that we can say, Amen.